The interview took place on November 12, 1974, at 10 a.m. in her home. In this interview, we covered general biographical information on her early union experiences in Chicago.
1910, when I was 13 years old. Latvia, not that time, it was 70. Latvia is, not the Russia, you know, but it is on the USSR now, because the other is small, you know, Lithuania and all the others. But I got that, so you can say it either Russia or Latvia, I don't know. I always put on Latvia, you know. Small, very small town. 8,000.
8,000?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a large family?
Well, we were six children, but we had no father. Our father died when I was 9 months old.
Oh,
that's
very
hard. Well, 1905, my first sister went to America, you see, with some friends. She was a young kid, about 16 at that time. And from that time until 1910, we kept on begging, you know, with one sister, then another sister, then another sister, then my brother, and then my mother, and my oldest sister, and myself came in 1910.
What did your mother do? Did she work
with you? Well, actually, she had a green store. And because my father had a contract with the army to deliver heat, green. So when he died, she continued it.
You have four sisters and...
I had five sisters and one brother.
Did all of you work before you came over?
None of us worked before you came over.
So your sister was sent... Did your sister send you? The first sister sent?
The first sister sent for another sister. And then they paid off the fare. And then this other sister sent for another sister. So there were three sisters. And the three sisters sent for my brother, because he couldn't get into university. He had graduated gymnasium when he was 16 years old, and he couldn't get into any university because of Jew, being a Jew, and they wouldn't accept him.
They wouldn't accept you at all?
Well, 5%, and he could not get in. So he came to the United States. And then a year later, we all went, my old mother, my oldest sister, and myself, and I was the youngest.
That was 1910?
1910.
So, how did you come over? Did you come over? By boat.
By boat? Yes.
How
was it? Well, we went to Libava, which was on the lake, on the ocean, and from there we took a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And we came to Liverpool, and we changed boat. And we came to New York. And from New York we went to Chicago, because this is where my sisters lived, in Chicago.
Was it a hard trip? Was it crowded?
It was crowded, and there were, the room that we all slept in was, I imagine there would be around 100 people. Oh, it's a very big, but there were cots all around. People slept on them.
Were many people sick?
Well, yes, some sick, or, you know, there's nothing sick except this water sickness, you know, I mean, vomiting and things like that. That I did,
I didn't too. Did you have a lot of expectations about coming in?
No, we didn't have a lot of expectations. The real reason that we came was because our family was broken up, and my mother wanted to be with the children. And this was the chief reason, because we are the only family from the other parts of the family, like brothers and sisters of hers that never went, you know. But with her, why she went is because of her children were here, and she wanted to be with the children. So we all came.
Did you stop at Ellis Island?
Yes, we stopped at Ellis Island, and everything was fine. My sisters have put in a certain amount of money that was needed, I think $50.
$50 to get in?
Yes, to get in, but the certain law. And they questioned us, and they put us on a freight train, and we went from Ellis Island to Chicago, straight to Chicago, and that's where our sisters met us. And they had rented a large seven-room apartment on the fourth floor, block up. And we lived there for some time, and then we moved out. Now everybody worked, more or less. I mean,
did you speak English?
No.
None?
No,
how
none.
How did you learn?
I went to public school for 2 years. I was too young to go to work. So I went to public school, and everybody went to night school, including my mother. We all went to night school. And I went to public school, I graduated public school, and then I went to a shop where a woman was teaching me how to sew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was 1912. And I worked until 1915. I didn't work, because it's a slack. It's an industry that you work a few months and then there's no work.
So is it work that you take home, or you go?
No, go to the shop.
But then you're laid off?
And you're laid off, you don't work. So we had a hard time,
Wages.
I think I made the first week $5. I think the first 6 weeks I made $5 a week. And then it happened that the lady that taught me how to sew got sick. So the foreman kind of liked me, as a young kid. And he said, why don't you try and make a dress yourself? So he gave me, and I tried to make a dress myself, and that week I made $16. So since then I worked for myself. But there was no work in that shop, so a brother-in-law of mine who worked on skirts took me into his shop to teach me to work on skirts. And I worked there sometime, I don't know, months. And I couldn't stand the language of the men, They used to tell baby sex stories, and I didn't understand anything about that,
Were there many men?
Well, this was a men's shop. Cloaks and skirts, and I was the only girl. And I couldn't stand it. I used to come home and cry at night, because, they used to talk. And men, cheap, they were common. And they always talked about sex relations and sex stuff, and I didn't understand what it was. I used to kind of tell my mother, and I felt bad. And I met a girl who was in Madison, Wisconsin, and she worked for a family and went to day school, to high school. She told me about it, and that appealed to me very much. So one day I came home and I said to mother, that how would it be if I would go to Madison, Wisconsin, if I can get a job and work in a house and go to school in the daytime? And that was 1915. So she said, if you can do it, if you can stand it, go ahead. She didn't. She thought it would be a good idea. I couldn't take that shot.
You didn't want to go to school?
I wanted to go to school. I used to go to school at night and fall asleep, because after I worked all day, I was so tired, I used to fall asleep.
How many hours a day?
We worked 10 hours at that time. So I went to Madison, Wisconsin. I got a place with a nice family. The children were kind of there, but he was a socialist, and he was a nice person, and she was a crank. I used to get up 6 o'clock in the morning and prepare breakfast and wash the dishes and then go to school. And I was so happy. I used to dance all the way to school. I was very happy that I went to day school, Now, anyway, I went to high school. And the first semester, they only allowed me to take the regular classes, 4 classes a day. And I wanted to take more. They wouldn't let me because they had to, unless I had top grades, they don't allow. So I did get top grades. And then I took double the amount instead of 4 classes a day, I took 8 classes a day, and I graduated in 2 years in a summer course.
That's incredible.
Graduate, Medicine High.
How much work did you do at the house while you were doing that?
Well, in the morning I used to make breakfast and wash up the dishes, and Saturday and Sunday I'd clean house. Otherwise, it could just be just after supper and dishes, you know, and help her out. But Saturday, I used to clean house most of the time. And I used to work at night, and during the weekend, you know, I worked hard. But it didn't come terribly hard to me. I didn't have much trouble. And the only good tea that I got was in English, which they understood, you know, because I was a foreigner and I had just come. All the rest I had excellent, so they allowed me to take the 8 subjects. And that means that I made the double. But because of the first semester that I only took 4, I had to take a summer course. So I took 2 classes in the summer course. Well, I graduated. And I went back home in the summer, and I worked in a shop.
Well, shop?
No, I worked in a dress shop. Got a job in a dress shop in the summer. I organized that shop.
Tell me about that.
I worked in a shop with a man who couldn't write his name. He used to take the checks and whatever he needed at home that his son had a son that used to do it for him. And he told me if I would teach him how to sign his name on a check, you know, he'd do anything that I want. So I taught him how to write a check. I put my hand on his hand. And little by little, I taught him how to write his name on a check, how to make out a check. I wrote him that. So I taught him that, how to make out a check for $12, you know, the date, and then sign his name. So he appreciated that very much. So he did anything I wanted, so I said, what I want is that the girl should belong to a union and you should sign an agreement for the union.
How did you know about the union?
Well, I come from a socialist family. My brother was a socialist, very active in the socialist party here in America. My brother-in-law was a business agent for the clockmakers union. His name was Fogel, F-O-G-E-L, Barnett Fogel. And so union and all this was a part of my blood, and I organized that shop. And then I went, I went back to Madison, I entered the University of Wisconsin.
How did the women react in the shop when you organized
it? They were very, very happy, because immediately the guy was raising wages, and a half an hour.
And he didn't fight during that?
No, he didn't fight. He said that he'll do everything I want him to do. He didn't have much trouble because really, a union shop didn't give any boss trouble. It's just the opposite. He had trouble with some girls in the shop before, you know, they wanted more money or they wanted this or they wanted that. When he organized the shop and he had a business agent come in, you know, things went much smoother. He really enjoyed it. You know, he wasn't angry. He said that the union did not do him any harm. It did him good because he had one person to talk to instead of 40. You see, mm-hmm. And among the 40 women, you know, over there were, you know, all kinds of one couldn't make it, one couldn't make it, one made trouble, one you know, doing something. One wanted more money, one wanted to do, you know, there was all kinds of trouble with people. When you deal with people, you have trouble. But when you deal with one person that takes care of all those things, it's really less trouble. It was like a vacation for him. He liked it. An old man. No, I don't know. He wasn't very old, but to me he was old, you know, but according to my age, he was a old man. He was a man about close to 60, but to me he was like an old man.
And most of the women pretty young in the shop?
Well, they were my age and older. There were some 20, some 22, some 24, some 18, some 17, you know, different ages. And I went back to university.
That was
19. I first went to Wisconsin in 1915.
Right.
So the first year was 1916. 1917, I entered, in the fall, I entered the University of Wisconsin.
What did you study?
I studied economics. Of course, you study all the things that you have to study. You have English, you have history, You have science, you know, one science. And I took economics because I wanted to be on the economics course. And I was planning that when I graduate, you know, I will be working in the field of economics. That was my first love, you know.
Did you have doctorate
once too? Yes, I wanted to work with labor unions. I had that in mind all the time. And then I...
Did you make any... The first two shops you worked in, did you make any attempt to organize them or...
I organized every shop I worked at after that.
Really?
Yeah, every shop. The next summer I went to a shop where they worked only on skirts. And he was a bachelor. And such a very peculiar person, I don't know. But I organized that shop too.
What was the name of
that? He remembers. I don't know.
Was that, did you ever run into any problems?
Well, there were some minor problems, but I don't think I had too much problems. I think this was a period where shops were organized, where the union was growing. And I don't think I had much difficulty, as I said, because the girls always liked me, and I liked the girls, you know, and I was a very good worker, so I used to help everybody, you know, with those who couldn't. And they liked me. So I organized the shop, and the fact of the matter is that every shop I organized in these for several years didn't lose anything by it, you know. In fact, they gained by it, because things went more smoothly. And things always go smoothly in an organized shop, more smoothly than it does in an unorganized shop. Because, you know, people are people and the cranks are cranks, you know, that you have that. But when you have a union that takes care of these things, and you call up the union and you have trouble, and the union comes, you know, a man or a woman, whoever comes, you can talk to them and they take care of these particular things that are wrong, you see.
Well,
say, for instance, a girl used to come late every day. Instead of coming 8 o'clock in the morning, she'd come 10 o'clock in the morning. And the boss didn't like that. Now he'd fire her, see? And he fired her. But when there was a union, he called up the union. He said, you didn't fire her. Well, the union gave her, said that either she comes in like everybody comes in at 8 o'clock, or she will not be able to hold this job. You know, she'll just have to come in like everybody else. It cannot be an exception. So in a way, they got help. It's psychological help, you see, from there. So I didn't have much trouble. In another shop, in second year of university,
which was
1918, it was my sophomore year, I took psychology under Professor Gestro. That I remember very well. And I don't remember the name of the other psychologist, but you see, psychology is the system is that Gestro gave a lecture. And in the lecture room, there were 200-300 students. And then divided them up into text, you know, sections, you know, rooms. And the rooms were about 30. And you know, you had psychologists, you know, who were taught then through the lectures. And Gestro was only a professor. You were there, these books are in the libraries. Anyway, I took that, and I continued after second year English, and I took ancient history at that time. First it was American history, then I took ancient history, and I took a class in economics. And there I got into real trouble because I didn't like how the professor explained things. It didn't sound right to me, you know, because he was, of course, capitalistically inclined. I was socialistically inclined. So several times we had on the floor, we had, you know, I'd get up and I'd say that he was wrong, but that wasn't so, you know.
How did he react to that?
Well, he reacted very badly. In fact, he gave me a C. He reacted very badly because I used to interrupt him. And I would say that it isn't so, that the workers are not what he said they are, you see. It isn't a question of what they want.
They would say the workers what, didn't work out?
They didn't work properly, they took advantage, you know what I mean, and all that stuff. You know, they always used to say that.
And you always stood up.
And so I used to, several, not always, but several times I stood up, and I said that the way he explained the relationship between capitalism and the workers was wrong, you see. Because there would be no capitalism, there would be no without the workers. It means that really the workers were the ones who produced the capital. He benefited by it because he put in the money, but they put in the labor. And so, you know, children, I mean the young students on the floor, you know, they, a lot of them liked it, you know. They thought it was a wonderful thing that I used to do that. But anyway, he was always angry at me because I used to say that. I used to say that the capital really is produced by labor, not by them. Because they put in the money, they open up a shop, they put in all the machinery, but without the labor, he wouldn't make anything. That means that we should be a part of the profits of the labor. That's what I believed in. All right. Kickhoffer, he was dead. But anyway, he didn't like it, and he complained to Dean, who was a woman. And the Dean liked me. Why she liked me was because I think she had pity on me. I worked very hard. That second year, sophomore year, I wasn't in that family. But I had another sister who was at the University of Wisconsin, so we took a room and we did repair work, you know, women's clothes, you know, they used to come and, you know, to fix up things like that. And we made it very little, but we had enough to pay the rent and live in a very meager way. But so that year, the sophomore year, we were together at that time. And so the dean, you know, had sympathy for me more than, you know, they used to complain. She still told me that, yeah, I should slow down like this and that. But anyway, she was a friend, you know, she was really a very good friend. And that was my sophomore year. I worked very hard. I had good grades. I had B's, A's. And things began to change because we got into the war. It was 1918.
How did you feel about the war?
The war, I couldn't before the war, but at the same time I couldn't go against the war. Because I trusted Roosevelt, and I felt that if England was in such trouble at that time, that the United States had to help them out. And England, Roosevelt sent the ships before he even came to the Senate, you know. He sent an armada of ships to England before he came to the Senate for approval. That's the way to think. And I thought a great deal of Roosevelt, and to me, you know, I used to say, you know, that if Roosevelt proves that he has to do it, then it must be right. And I never belonged to the Socialist Party. I never belonged to any political party.
How come, sir?
Well, I didn't believe much in the political parties, as I don't know. Political parties are even now, you know, now, it's a clique, you know, they do things. From a lot for the wrong good and for the good of the party, but the people as such, I felt, you know, that we really didn't have a voice in any of the parties, including the Socialist Party. Well, they're not opportunists, no, but they are like it's just human nature, you know, they protect their party and their beliefs. I helped a lot when Debs ran. With Debs, I was very much impressed by Eugene Debs, because he used to come and speak to us when there was a strike. He never refused. If he was in Chicago, I came once to him and asked him whether he would speak at the meeting that we had, a strike in a number of shops, and he came and he talked, and he was just wonderful. So I admired him very much. But I admired Roosevelt, and I thought he was a very honest man.
Did you feel more strongly about the war after the
Lusitania,
or did that make any difference?
Well, no, I don't think that made any difference. I think that what affected me at that time was mostly because England, which was really the most democratic country in Europe at that particular time, could lose the war without the help of the United States, and I thought it was going to be very bad. So I believe, and when many people talked to me about it, socialists for instance, who were definitely against any war, I used to always say, when I was young, but I always used to say, well, if Roosevelt thinks that he has to do it, you have to believe in somebody, and I believe in him.
How come? Why do you like him so much?
Several things. And Roosevelt came into the presidency. I knew life very well because I belonged to the Women's Trade Union League.
Mm.
And she used to be a member of the Women's Trade Union League till her death. And she used to come every month to talk. And I was in Chicago at that time, but I knew that she was very much with it. And if there were strikes in New York, girls used to strike, she was always on the picket line, working with them. And she was very much pro the girls. I don't know that she was pro labor in general, but she was very much pro feminine, you see. So I had a great respect for them. Till 1922, now, but before that time, when I came from the third year at the university, junior, I had a nervous breakdown. Because it was a bad year, and all I could eat at that time, my other sister got married, the only thing I could eat was about 3 rolls for 5 cents, and water. I used to eat it in the toilet because I was ashamed that I couldn't eat, you know, that you'd see me eating just this roll and water. So I used to go into the toilet and eat that. And
I ate at school?
That was at school. And that was, 1917, 18. Anyway, I didn't have enough food and I had a nervous breakdown.
Because you couldn't get a job?
No, I worked very hard, and I'll tell you what happened that junior year. We talked it over in the house, and my brother thought that I should maybe go on the medical course. Going on the medical course meant that I had to take chemistry and physics, which I did not have before. You know, it's a lot of laboratory work. Four hours a day I spent in the laboratories, 2 hours on physics, 2 hours on chemistry. And it came hard on me.
How did you feel? Came
very
hard. Because your brother said you should do
no, it? No, we decided in the family, I thought maybe it would be a good idea, you know. So I changed from economics to medicine, to take sciences. And these two sciences I didn't have. Yeah, and I took biology. Biology was easy. But that's the physics hard. And I went through it. I took the exams. But I fainted. I must have fainted because I found myself in my room after that, in the doctor. And they sent for my brother to Chicago. They sent a telegram, and he came and he brought me, took me home. And that was in September. Of 1919. I came to Chicago and I was told not to go back to school.